Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Hallo, I'm Hans Gruber from Radio 1 in Überbraten, Germany. I'm here with you with Andy Finn, known as Tech Man in the United Snakes, and we're going to find out a bit about his background with technology. Andy, you've been working and studying communication and information technologies most of your life. Tell us a little about how you began.
Well, Hans, my parents knew early on that I had an interest in technology. For instance, I began picking up the telephone before I could talk. I was so young, I would take the phone off the hook but not say anything.
And I suppose your folks love that.
Well, they thought it was cute when I was two, but by age three, it didn't seem as funny. And then by age four, the beatings started.
Ach, then, lieber, your parents beat you for picking up the phone? That seems kind of harsh.
Well, not really. It was tough love. They weren't upset because I was picking up the phone. They were upset because I picked up the phone and didn't say anything. I mean, by age five, you should be able to walk and chew guns at the same time. Except they didn't let me have guns. They were afraid I'd get it stuck in my hair. But the important thing is that they cured me of not talking. And so I became the incessant talker that my friends all know and tolerate today. So I think of it as I owe my parents for my desire to talk myself into radio.
Ah, interesting. So when did you first start with computers, Andy?
In my first job out of college, I became a computer programmer for the Burroughs Corporation. The company is so old now that it's extinct.
Don't you mean defunct?
No, Burroughs was unique. It's extinct.
Okay, and what year did you start your illustrious career in computer programming then?
Well, let's just say it was in the early days of the computer. Back when the experts thought that computers were just a passing fad. Hula hoop, but not as much fun.
And what was the technology like back then?
Hans, it was primitive. In the really early days, there was no software, and so everything had to be hardwired. And then when we started with simple programs, we didn't have the tools that we needed.
You mean like programming languages?
Well, not only didn't we have languages, in the real early days, we didn't even have zeros. We had to use the letter O.
That is the unbelievable story, Andy. And then as you went on, you did computer consulting. Is that correct?
Yes, I worked in the computer labs at Washington University in St. Louis when I was in graduate school. I consulted on everything. I consulted on SPSS and SAS and BMDP and Fortran and COBOL and Snowball and T-Ball and V-Ball and B-Ball.
That's a lot of balls to juggle. Didn't it get confusing?
Oh, yes. I remember one time I gave a Fortran user COBOL advice, and he ended up in an infinite loop.
Ugh, that sounds time-consuming.
Well, he was in graduate school at the time, so he hardly noticed. But I learned a valuable lesson. Never underestimate the power of stupidity.
That is the cute one, Andy. But tell me, how did you get from there to AT&T?
I believe I took I-70 to I-81 and then to I-80.
No, I mean, what took you to AT&T? Let me rephrase that. What did you do for AT&T?
Well, I had several jobs. I spent a few years doing implementation of new technologies for internal use, technologies like voicemail, and the personal computer, and the automatic data entry recorder thingy-majiggy. Then I spent several years in Bell Labs. I did human factors for visual and auditory and mental interfaces. And I was also a product manager for AT&T's largest voicemail systems and a product line planner for voice processing at one point.
Any particular highlights you care to mention?
Well, I like to think of all of those as highlights. But I don't mean to be immodest, but I'm well known around the company and really around the world as the guy who invented the double click.
Ah.
And I received a Nobel Prize in Human Factors for my work with invisible radio receivers.
Well, Andy, that's amazing. Fantastic, really. And I understand you've spent much of the last few years teaching telecommunications. What did you like most about that, Andy?
Well, Hans, I think the most rewarding thing for me was being able to bend young minds. You know, college students are really an impressionable group, so I could tell them just about anything.
You don't mean to tell me that you made things up, do you?
Well, it's tough to fill a 3-hour lecture with real, actual information. Plus, a lot of them aren't really listening anyway.
So then it was an easy transition to talk radio.
Oh, definitely. With talk radio, if my audience falls asleep, I don't find it anywhere near as distracting as when my students did it.
But Andy, how would you know if you put your audience to sleep?
Oh, I'm surprised at you, Hans. Like any successful talk show host, I watch my engineer. If he falls asleep, then I know I'm in trouble.
Ah, so he's like the canary in the coal mine.
Well, yes, but he's a little bigger, maybe a little smarter, and definitely not as cute.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Andy, for sharing your tales and your insights with us today. Actually, there were no insights. Thank you for sharing your tales with us today.
You're welcome, Hans. Hey, let's do this again, right now.
Let's not. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back here on Radio 1, Überbraten Deutschland.